Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this Palm Sunday is from our Gospel reading. Among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who were from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. At one point earlier in Jesus' public ministry, he asks the crowd about his forerunner, John the Baptist. "What did you go out in the desert to see?" he asks. Because crowds from all over the region were going into the wilderness to see and hear this peculiar man, John, to listen to his preaching, to repent and be baptized as he instructed. And Jesus asked, "What is it you went to see?" John was, for a brief time in the ancient world, a kind of celebrity, not because he was seeking fame, but because other people were seeking him out. And so I would encourage you to think about, just for a minute this morning, who is it in our culture today that you would seek out simply for the opportunity to say, "I saw him," or "I saw her"? And I believe the question itself implies that we're talking about someone with a certain degree of celebrity, someone who is famous to some extent, whose name all of us, or at least most of us, would recognize. There's something intriguing about seeing the well-known, the famous, in person. Sports teams will often arrange for special fan days where you can line up to get an autograph with that favorite player of yours that's always seen at a distance on the field. And it may take a long time just for that brief encounter. And those kind of experiences, perhaps they make for good storytelling. But after the initial excitement and a retelling of the experience, one wonders what difference it really makes. By and large, seeing someone famous, even getting that autograph, maybe even a selfie, doesn't really change our lives one way or the other. It's just kind of interesting. Today, we celebrate that day when a large crowd gathered to see Jesus as he enters Jerusalem. But they don't wait patiently in an autograph line or stand orderly behind some kind of security barricade. They fill the streets with shouts of excitement. They throw their own garments on the road to honor him. They wave palm branches, this sign of their national identity, and they shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." In Jesus' day, you could hardly honor someone more highly than that. For them, it was far more than just interesting. In the man seated on that donkey, they saw hope. John reports in his gospel that the reason why the crowds went to see Jesus is they had heard he raised Lazarus from the grave. So clearly this man had power. Surely he was sent from God. And the Israelites desperately wanted a king to deliver them from the hated Roman occupiers. And who could blame them for thinking, if this guy can raise the dead, surely he can take over the throne. He can deliver us. That becomes the real reason for their spontaneous, jubilant, somewhat chaotic welcome. They see in him a leader. But John goes on to report that those who had come to Jerusalem, some of them were Greeks that also wanted to see Jesus. And why would foreigners want to see him? They didn't share his ethnic identity. They weren't under Roman rule. And maybe they too had heard that Jesus had done amazing things. Maybe it was by reputation that he sounded interesting. Perhaps they just wanted to be able to see this remarkable man in person so that they could go home and make it a part of their story. Hey, we saw that guy, Jesus, the one they say is a miracle worker. But there's a little more to it than that. Their request makes it plain that they want to not only see Jesus, they want to meet him. And he surely wasn't there signing public autographs. Philip doesn't know quite what to do with that request, so he goes to Andrew, and then together they take it to Jesus. There are some people who want to meet you. Now consider first what Jesus does not say in response. He doesn't say, "No, I'm too busy." But he also doesn't say, "Sure, bring him over." Instead, he makes clear that this is no longer the time for a simple, casual meeting of interest. Listen again to his response. He says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." He is certainly not talking about some kind of earthly glory. Jesus is not in Jerusalem to be a celebrity. If these foreign visitors came to see a few loaves and some fish transformed into a feast for thousands, if they came to see him give sight to the blind, if they came just to have a personal "we met him" moment, then they will surely be disappointed. Jesus is entirely focused on the reason for his coming to Jerusalem. He came to die. For the very same people who believe that he came to change their earthly fortunes. They didn't yet understand that when Jesus speaks of being glorified, he is talking first about a death on the cross and only later about glorious resurrection. Jesus is in Jerusalem because the Israelites, the foreigners, his enemies, and you and I need to see him. But we need to see him for who he really is. He is not just a healer. He is not just a compelling teacher. He is certainly not just a good moral example of how to live one's life. And although he is all of those, he is really in Jerusalem to reveal to the whole world throughout all time and across every culture that he is first and foremost the Son of God come to sacrifice himself for everyone who will come to see him as Lord and Savior. To see Jesus for who he truly is, you must see him on the cross, fulfilling the very reason why he came to earth. Today, we celebrate that day when the people of Jerusalem cheered his arrival as a celebrity. Next Sunday, on Easter Day, the Christian church the world over will celebrate his victorious return to life, his glorious resurrection as the fully revealed Son of God. These two Sundays, back to back, give us every reason to rejoice, to cheer, to celebrate. But in between, he will suffer unimaginable torment and torture. In between the cheering of this week and next, we must see Jesus' passionate sacrifice. We must see Jesus washing his disciples' feet in that upper room like a lowly servant, setting an example of love and humility for them and for us to follow. We must see him anguishing in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying to his Father, knowing what is ahead of him, and yet still going ahead willingly toward it. We must see him hanging on that cross in unspeakable torment and humiliation for the sake of this whole broken world. And only then do we begin to see the real Jesus and what he willingly accomplished for our sake. I urge you this week to participate here, or if you have another home congregation, in the important days between the cheering, the days of harsh reality, the days when God's profound love for you is on full display. And after all that, the only way we still really see Jesus is by faith as our Lord and Savior. And that's what makes our gatherings together so very important. For whenever we gather together in worship, we confess God to be who he reveals himself to be in the Scriptures, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We confess that it is the Father who created us. We confess it is the Son, Jesus the Christ, who redeems us. And we confess that it is only by the Holy Spirit that such faith is worked in us that we are able to see Jesus for who he really is. But it doesn't just end there. Jesus calls us to make our experience with him not just a quick sighting to just talk about later. He calls us into a real relationship. He says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. Following your Lord and Savior is not a one-time event. This morning is indeed confirmation. But it doesn't just happen when you wear the robe and process down the aisle and even kneel at the chancel rail. Following our Lord starts there. But then it needs to expand from there. It's not a casual invitation into relationship that our Lord extends, because we hear him say, whoever loves this earthly life will lose it. And whoever hates life in this world will keep it for eternal life. It's just that serious. And by that, Jesus is saying that if this earthly life and all the trappings and all the pleasures is truly your highest priority, then when it ends, and it surely will, you will have nothing. You will be separated from the author of life. But if your focus is beyond the trappings of this life, your real purpose to be in faith relationship to which Jesus invites you, then when this life ends, and it surely will, you will see and meet Jesus in person. Not just for a moment, but for an eternity. For he promised, anyone who serves the Father, anyone who serves me, the Father in heaven, will honor. He will honor you with eternal life, won for you when Jesus came into Jerusalem and died and rose again. And so on this day, I pray that that is how you see Jesus. As he really is, as your Lord and Savior. I pray that in your life, whatever your circumstance might be today, that you continue to hear our Lord and respond in faith when he calls to you, follow me. Amen. May the peace of Christ that transcends our human understanding keep your hearts and minds focused on him.